This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
In my darkest hour.
Hi again, I'm Don Merrill, and I'm talking with Lynn Fitch. Lynn Fitch is the station manager for KBOO. Her other titles include station manager, executive director, station navigator, executive director, and development director. And this is our second night of conversations where we are talking about experience, staff, volunteers, unionization efforts as an effort to better inform you, our KBOO listeners, and to give you more information with which to help us all move forward for the benefit of the KBOO and the community. Before we get started, I wanted to thank our staff who has been helping us get this on the air, Kurt Lauer especially, who is our board operator tonight. This evening our talk will last until about 8 o'clock, and the format will be for the first half hour I'll ask Lynn questions, and for the last half hour you can ask her questions. I have questions that we didn't get to last night that I'll be asking, so thanks for those questions, and please feel free to send in some more if you'd like. So we're going to be finishing up what we started talking about yesterday. Yesterday we talked mostly about Lynn's experience, the relationship with the board, the function of the board, and we talked a little bit about some of the unionization efforts that are going on here at KBOO. Tonight we'll finish up some of that. We'll talk about some staff issues, and finally we'll talk about volunteers and money. So we've got a full plate. So we'll go ahead and get started. Lynn, yesterday, Lynn, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yesterday we spent the time talking about your experience, job as development director, and a whole bunch of other stuff. I'd like to pick the conversation up tonight with a discussion about the employee manual. Now, you said last night that when the board threw out all of the old personnel employment policies, the station had no policies in place, and they told you to implement new policies to replace them, which you did. And you did that by using a guide for an employee manual that came from Paychex. And Paychex is the company that does the payroll for KBOO.
Yes.
Why did you choose Paychex, since some people might consider that employee manual to be not tailored to KBOO?
Well, we did that for a couple of reasons. First of all, because we're already working with them, and since finances are an issue here, we were able to get a good deal working with Paychex because we already have services with them. And that was a consideration, although we did look at others. The other part of that is employee manuals, there's kind of a template out there. You can Google it. I've worked with all kinds of real basic employee manuals. And for KBOO, we just took the basic manual and worked from that point. My basic criteria for Paychex was that, first and foremost, that it had to be legally compliant. Whatever those policies were, they had to be city, county, state, and federally legal. And from that point, we worked outwards. And it was just the first piece of the manual. As I told staff and the board, from that point, you start adding to that. But that's the bare bones.
Okay. But that employee manual was primarily designed for commercial / corporate organizations, wasn't it?
I think it's adaptable to nonprofits, and the KBOO Foundation is a corporation.
Okay. But what I meant was a corporation that's primarily focused on, I mean, corporations that have a completely different mindset than what KBOO would have. I mean, does that make a difference at all when you're looking for legal employee policies in an employee manual?
I don't believe so. No.
Okay. So what you're saying is they're pretty much standardized.
they're standardized. You can go in and you can start tweaking policies and you can start adding policies, but the basic things are affirmative action, anti-discrimination policies, what other legal policies you have to follow across the state and with the federal government. A lot of that is cookie cutter. Doesn't matter whether you're a nonprofit or a corporation. Then you start adding. That's where the personalization comes in.
Okay.
And, you know, honestly, we only got to the first stage of that employee manual, like I said yesterday.
Okay. So then, does that employee manual fit in to anything that's going to be happening as the station starts to negotiate with the union? I mean, will any of the stuff that you have already done be a part of the work that you and the staff and the union do to develop some other kind of manual or some other kind of employee or policy guide in the future?
Well, the employee manual that we have, as it stands now, it has been implemented. That includes the at-will directive that I received from the board. I'm assuming that that will be one of the first items that comes up for negotiation with the union, is the at-will piece. Because in a letter that I received from the staff prior to the unionization, letter that I received was the staff wanting me to, you know, take away the at-will directive, even though that's not my purview. That is the board's first and foremost. I was implementing it. And then to...
So just to make that clear, that the at-will provision was to change from for-cause to at-will. That was a board decision.
It was a board decision in the new board policies to really clarify it.
Okay.
KBOO has been an at-will employer for many, many years. But in addition to being an at-will employer, there were a set of policies that had to do with for-cause. So there was an appeal process in place. Those things, I'm assuming, I don't know because we have yet to start negotiations. I believe that some of those things in the employee manual will be brought forth as, you know, we would like to negotiate this. We would like more sick hours than are in this manual. We would like an appeal process, or we want to remove at will entirely. So right. I think that there are some things in that manual that we will be discussing.
Okay. I do have a couple of other questions about that. You had said it's a living document, meaning that, you know, what you started out with was just a draft, basically, upon which you plan to build. But some people felt like it was a pretty harsh first draft, and I think that's why some of them are kind of skeptical that it's not the first draft, but a final draft. When are they going to see the changes?
The staff was asked to go ahead and take their employee manual and mark it up with the changes that they would like to see, concerns, additions that they would like to see. Those were turned in to the financial coordinator, and those were then passed along to our HR people that we work with at Paychex. And they are now, you know, considering those, but they're frankly in a pile waiting for Lynn to have the time to start going back over those, hearing the concerns of staff, now that it seems very likely that we will have the union on board, I need to involve them in this process as well. Yeah.
Okay. Can you give just basically, I mean, a lot of this has been about benefits and things like that as they affected the employees. Can you give a quick rundown of the top four or five changes that were that were in the top of the minds of the employees?
Oh, let's see. I don't have those in front of me. It's funny, though, because the things that I thought would be an issue, you know, drug and alcohol policy and the policy where we can search backpacks and stuff, I thought those would be an issue, and they weren't. the removal, let's see. Sorry, I wish I had my notes in front of me. I don't.
Well, there was something about maternity leave.
The maternity leave was cut in so much as we only pay for the coverage of 3 weeks of maternity leave, not 6 weeks, although you can take 6 weeks.
Okay. So it was six and now it's three. It
and
was six
three.
Paid, now it's three paid.
Yes.
Okay. A sick leave.
The sick leave was cut, and it is now, I'm really sorry, I don't have these numbers in my head.
Well, that's okay. I mean, this is stuff that if people want to find out more about, they can probably find out about it online or in some of the board discussions. But just because it's there doesn't mean that, you know, maybe we couldn't go over just some of that stuff briefly.
The sick leave was cut, and you can correct me, callers, if you'd like.
I know some of the staff had several hundred hours of leave, and it was
the part that caused the most concern is the fact that in the old policies there was an accrual and a rollover of sick time, and it was 480 hours of accrued sick time could be rolled over annually. That is almost 10 weeks. If all of our staff took that accrued sick time, that is an unsustainable financial burden for the foundation. That's what I saw it as. That's the advice that I received. My apologies that I don't have those other numbers. I don't hold those things in my head.
Mm-hmm. And the last question was just about sabbaticals.
The sabbatical was removed at this time. Sabbaticals are becoming less and less common in nonprofits as well as corporations. Our sabbatical was set at if you have been employed at KBOO for 5 years, you could take a sabbatical. In other organizations and that I've worked in, other manuals I've worked on, the threshold was 15 or 20 years of employment before you took a sabbatical. At this time, it was removed so that we could have a further discussion about that at the board level to get that kind of input.
Okay. There was a couple of people that I talked to about the benefits, and they were saying that the station probably shouldn't have changed or cut back those benefits because it didn't cost the station any money. Is that true?
Well, benefits do cost the station money. When people take vacation and they have accrued vacation time, we pay for that vacation. When people take maternity leave, as an employee has done, KBOO pays an interim contract person to cover that time. Sick days, if you accrue them and you take them, are paid. So benefits are not free. One of the thoughts behind the employee manual that probably people should take into consideration is KBOO staff, for some time, there has been a cap on salaries. And so most of the staff is paid the same amount. Therefore, increased or inflated, if you will, benefits compensated for the fact that people are paid a lower wage than really they should be making and unable to...
When you say should be making as compared to comparably sized stations elsewhere.
Yes.
Okay.
Nonprofits in Portland. I don't believe it's fair for someone who's been here close to 20 years to be at the wage that they're currently making. Mm. So that said, when you go in and you're working on a first employee handbook, and you're looking at those wages, and anybody who knows me and has come to the station the second day I was here, I vowed that that cap on salaries would be changed, that people would be paid according to the work that they were doing and paid fairly, that was part of my intention in going in, creating that manual, cutting back some of those benefits that were inflated, like 480 hours of accrued rollover sick time, and work at the same time with the new management structure, the new staffing structure, the job descriptions, and the new pay scale that I had developed so that people would be paid accordingly. They could save money. They could save for retirement. They could save for things that they needed, which they cannot do now on the salary that they are paid.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about volunteers now. KABU has about 500 volunteers. It says it has about 500 volunteers. But we have 183 show hosts, 183 programs, 183 show hosts. Where are the other 317 volunteers?
Well, the show hosts, we don't necessarily have that many programs because some of our shows are run by collectives. So there are four different hosts for one program slot, and they rotate in and out. The 500 volunteer number, I'm not exactly sure how that came to be and how long it's been talked about. Other volunteer duties that and responsibilities here at the station are receptionists, people who table at events, people who answer phones for us during the pledge drive, person who manages the maintenance here at KABU is a volunteer. So there's lots of volunteer duties here. The thing that I've been wanting to do, and staff knows this, and it's part of the bigger plan, is that we currently have lists of volunteers and the evening program director and the morning public affairs director and the volunteer coordinator and the interim program director all have lists of volunteers. I think it would be much more efficient and effective for us if we had a very comprehensive database where all those volunteers were, so that they could be cross-referenced. There's plenty of
matching volunteer to skill.
Exactly, and there's plenty of software out there now where we could actually have all of our volunteers' things online. So a host could go online from home, put in the hours that he's volunteered, sign up for a training, decide that he wants to help at an event, all of that kind of information. Even recruitment could be done using better technology. So that is just one of those pieces that I've discussed internally with staff. I mean, that would be a great thing if we had that so that we could make better use of the volunteers that we have, and we would have a true count. And for grant writing, we would know how many hours these people are donating to KABU, which, right, you know, is hard for us to track now.
I wanted to talk about programming for a minute. Now, KABU has 183 programs. More than one volunteer may work on each program. And except for some of the news and public affairs blocks, most, if not all, of that programming is local. But the membership director, Andrew Geller, has shown that of those 183 shows, only about 43 of them account for 80% of the pledge revenue. And that means 140 shows provide 20% of the pledge revenue. What do those numbers mean?
Well, it's hard to judge listenership just by membership dollars. But that's one of the only reasons, or that's one of the only ways we have now, is accounting for who's listening and why they're listening and do they appreciate what they're listening to, is through membership dollars, because we were not able to afford the service that allows us to know and gives us that kind of data, who's listening, why. So What does that mean? That means that for whatever reason, when we hold a pledge drive or a membership drive, those hosts, that programming does not generate membership dollars. The listeners don't pledge money for that particular program and support it in that way.
I wanted to talk about something sort of related to that. Now, the industry standard for community and public radio says that about one out of every 10 people who listen to a station donate money to support that station. And Andrew's numbers bear that out. We have about 5,000 donors, but in 2004, we had 7,500 donors. Now, since 2004, KBOO's donations from pledge drives have been steadily falling. I mean, for the audience, if you want to picture this, draw a square and draw a line from the upper left-hand corner to the bottom right-hand corner. That's about what the line looks like from 2004. And since our donors are 10% of all of our listeners, that means we have about 55,000 listeners. But we used to have 75,000 listeners. So I guess I wanted to ask you, did the station have any idea why that's happening?
The only way currently that we know that it's happening. I mean, we've known for years that that's the trend. But the only way that we have to understand it is through dollars. I don't think that that's the only way that we should be doing it, but it's what we have, and it seems to bear out the truth and the trend.
You had said yesterday that the station has gone through 20 managers in 20 years.
It's pretty close to that. I heard a board member say that once, like it's, 20-some managers in close to 20-some years. And I haven't had the time to go back and check all those personnel records. Right. In fact, I never look at personnel records, really, but I haven't gone back to check that. But there has been a great turnover, yes.
Right. Well, that's quite a revolving door. And it's sort of reflective of an organization, that on some level is, just trying to find out what it wants to do, it seems. Does the station know? I mean, this is kind of a straightforward question, but does the station know what it wants to be? I mean, KBOO went through a visioning process, what did the station come up with? And is it compatible with the realities the station is facing?
Well, I wasn't here for the process that went into the strategic plan. And there are some things in the strategic plan that I think are part of the visioning process and work that went on at that time. And that's, to really increase the reach that we have, involve more people, build membership, build listenership, understand what people want, change and adapt programming to reflect the needs of that more enhanced, bigger market. The overarching goal in the strategic plan, the vision, was for KBOO to become like a media hub, like a media center, although there wasn't any meat on the bones, if you will, on how that was going to happen. So the board, this current board, did have one visioning session with a consultant who came in with doing this pro bono, and it was interesting because the discussion was pretty wide-ranging. KBOO seems to be a lot of things to a lot of people. That's true. KBOO is a community of a lot of communities. It reminds me sometime of that parable about the elephant and the blind people, is it the trunk, is it the tail thing? And at that one visioning session, it was interesting that they gravitated back to the original reason why KBOO got its nonprofit status, the foundation, and why we were granted an educational radio station licensed by the FCC.
And why was that?
And that was to provide access to arts and education for the community. That's fundamentally why KBOO exists. There has been lots of information about somebody just handed me something. There's been lots of people talking about what KABU could be, what they want it to be. I have been listening a lot out in the community. I've been getting feedback from those that have heard our remote broadcast, that from those who we do media sponsorships for, those that are out in the region that I'm working with, and they see KABU as, you know, bottom line, the most valuable independent media source that this region has and has had for 45 years. But they, in the next breath, will tell you that it's underutilized and it is not fulfilling that mission, that there are huge parts of the community and the state and the region that KABU doesn't serve, that there is much more that can be done. But they hold on to this ideal and they talk about it. Hosts, program hosts, stop me in the hall and talk about, you know, the potential that's there. And so when I start talking about, you know, what we could do, you know, with more awareness, and how something as simple as a media sponsorship that we've never given to a particular organization before, like Friends of Trees, how that reaches hundreds, if not thousands, of people across Portland who never have heard of KABU or never listened to KABU, and pretty soon they're interested and they might listen, or they become a member or they make a donation. Now they're involved. Now they're part of KABU. They're one of the KABU communities. That's how we expand our reach. That's how we start growing outward. We're doing the same with the remote broadcasts, with the Ilahi lecture series. People that could not get to that lecture series for whatever reason, maybe they're housebound, they were able to hear it. So Ilahi, which is doing wonderful work to build community, KABU is there supporting them, but we're being supported in return, and we're benefiting, and we're growing our markets, and we are reaching more people, which in turn is going to build membership, which in turn is going to build membership. It's not all about the money. You know, I talk about money all the time, and it's crucial, and I like to raise money, and we need more money. We need a new website. We need better equipment. We need staff to be paid better. We need all those things. But then I start sounding really corporate. You know, what we're doing with things that we're doing on the ground level right now, these new initiatives, this bigger vision of KABU, is to build relationships and enhance those relationships to really be independent, community-driven, volunteer-driven media for this city, for this region. And I always keep talking about the Cascadia region. There's not a listener out there and a KABU member who doesn't solidly stand behind that, because they understand what's happened to media across the world. And we're different. KABU is different in that.
Okay. We're at 7:33 or so, and I wanted to maybe take a little break, and then we're going to come back and answer the call-in questions that we've received. We've got about maybe half a dozen or more, and we'll be probably back in about a minute or so.
Coming by to ask me if my situation's high, because sometimes I just stare at the sky. Up is down, before her crown I cry.
just drive by sometime. If you would just drive by. Sometimes I can be there if I try. The whole world keeps spinning me round, bringing me up and bringing me down. But I can't get there with my feet on. Maybe I ought to start digging a hole around my feet on the ground. If you would just drop by sometime.
Thanks, Kurt. We're back, and now we're going to answer some of the questions from you, our listeners. One of the questions I got was from staff. This is from Jenka Soderberg. Her question was, last night Lynn said the union is going to hold elections May 30th unless the union changes its mind and doesn't want to have the election. That would involve a legal agreement that would come from their lawyer to our lawyer. The union representative says they accepted voluntary recognition after the May 4th meeting, and the union lawyer made that offer official in a letter to Bullard Law last week. But apparently KBOO's lawyers haven't responded. Is there any update of that situation? Is KBOO management trying to force an election? That's the question.
KBOO management is not trying to force an election. We voluntarily said that we would recognize the union and go into negotiations. We received information that the union wanted to hold the election, and we did receive a letter to that effect. In fact, today I have the posters for the election that will go up as, you know, per the legal status. I guess I'm not exactly understanding the entire question.
The question seems to be, is there an update to the situation about KBOO's lawyers not responding to the union lawyer's official letter to Bullard Law? So have KBOO lawyers responded to that letter or not? Do you know?
The letter, we received a letter Friday. Is this the letter?
I'm not sure. It just says...
We did receive a letter. I was notified of the letter. I read the letter. We discussed some of the pieces of it. There were some issues that
were... When you say we, who we?
Bullard Law and myself.
Okay.
Over the phone.
Okay.
Actually, via email. Because it was Friday, and it was late on Friday, and there were some things in there that we both felt needed to be more clarified and were somewhat vague. I did ask our lawyer to respond to the union's lawyer and with a few questions about that, and I did not hear anything back yet today, so I'm understanding in how the process works that they would be discussing that. When you receive a letter, it's usually likely that there may be some concerns about that, and you are perfectly within your rights to say, well, what about this? I will say that there were a couple of items that were curious to me that I wanted clarification on. And as I said last night, I am wearing the hat of the employer. I'm also looking out for my staff. And there are things in that agreement letter that would have a direct impact on the staff as unionized staff. And I cannot say any more than that because it's a confidential negotiation.
Okay. But to the second question, the management is not trying to force an election.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I said on May 4th that I was ready to enter into negotiations that week. At that time, that we received notice that the union wanted to hold its election, wanted to continue with the petition for election. I received confidential documents, letters verifying that were dated May 16th, today. I have the posters for the election that will be going up tomorrow morning.
Okay. This is a question from Mark. Mark wants to know, what programs do you plan to eliminate? What programs do you plan to add?
At this point, I have the only programs that I have spoken to staff about adding are a statewide news program pilot that will be put together by a consortium of community radio stations, and KABU will produce that. I am very anxious to work with the union and get the interim program director position out for open hire so that we can be in compliant, so that we are compliant with the EEO regulations there, and look forward to, in the future, having a program director lead those changes for us. I don't believe that I can dictate, or any one person can dictate, program changes. Changes have been talked about internally. I attended a staff meeting in, I believe it was January, with the volunteer coordinator, the interim program director, the morning and evening program people. We talked at great length about programming that we'd like to see, you know, a legislative news program, bilingual programming, some different music programming. The issue that we face here at KABU is how do we open up time and space in our program schedule to allow for new voices, to allow for new programming.
Right.
The only programming that I have, you know, really asked for are the archive programs that you hear, and this statewide piece.
So then, in terms of the elimination of programs, is that up to you, or that's not up to you right now at this point? I mean, there are no programs that you're thinking of that are going to be eliminated, or you're saying that those are decisions that will have to be made when the program director comes on board?
I am making no programming changes.
Okay.
Except for what I just described.
Okay. This is a question from the phone. This person didn't give their name. I'm really hesitant to read questions from people who don't give their names, because this is a community station, and if you want to know who we are, then we should know who you are. It's only fair. But there's been much discussion about an alleged financial crisis. Do you have proof of this, and where is the proof? It does not seem to be on the website. That's their first question.
I do believe that our financial documents are on the website. 990s, our nonprofit 990 filings, you can locate those easily. I want to say they're on the website as well. And it is true that we have been running a deficit for several years, and the information is on the website, and there are finance meetings that you can go to, and they're on the 990s. That's where the information is.
Okay. The second question from this person, how do you plan to include the membership and programmers in future programming decisions? We're back to programming. Programming seems to be a big issue.
Because we do not have a service anymore where we understand and we can collect data on what people are listening to and why and who's listening, Several months ago at a programming committee meeting, I suggested that we do a survey, that we do more than a Survey Monkey questionnaire that primarily, you know, and some of our members and some hosts will answer. So what we are going to be doing...
So was that an issue in the past, that you would send out a survey, but only people who had a vested interest would respond?
I have never been part of a survey process here, but that is what I've been told by staff, yes.
Okay.
So my recommendation is that we really go back to a grassroots information gathering here. And over the course of the summer, another one of those things that we're doing in the 45th birthday year is we're doing a summer survey. This is a survey that we'll be doing community-wide, neighborhood-by-neighborhood canvassing. We'll be working with the neighborhood associations, using volunteers. If you're a listener and you'd like to be going door-to-door talking to your neighbors about KBOO, please let us know, let the program committee know, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to go door-to-door. We're going to be putting together with individuals who do surveys for a living so that we actually get some really good questions, so we get the data that we're looking for. We'll be creating door knockers that we can leave saying, we were here and you weren't, but if you'd like to answer our questions, please answer this and mail it in. It will be available on the website. It will be in a couple of the local newspapers. So I'm anticipating that we'll get hundreds of responses, more data than we've had before. We'll be able to put that all together and be able to present that at the annual meeting in September. So that's one way that we're going to be involving members, the public, and hosts in programming decisions. I'm also very interested in putting together a true community advisory council. And this would be representatives from across the community. So, you know, from the faith community, from the different ethnic communities, from the different newspapers and television stations, so that you have a cross-section of the community that can give input on what their communities, because, again, KBOO is a community of communities, what their communities are wanting.
So then they would give that input to KBOO's other governance committees, finance, programming, and those committees ultimately would report to the board, and then the board would make decisions in part based on these advisory committees.
And yeah, we do have a program committee, and but we need to get more diverse, wide-ranging information going into that program committee.
I want to ask you about that quickly. Now, I've heard people say that the programming is diverse, and then I've heard people say the programming is not diverse. Why is there a sort of like a conflict between whether or not the programming is diverse enough or is not diverse enough?
I think it's because people have different opinions on what is diverse. And one thing that you
because learn, you hear people say, okay, well, yeah, you need to do more outreach. No, we don't need to do enough. We don't need to do more outreach. We're covering our bases. We're doing fine. So that's what I'm asking.
Well, I think that in that context, then, that goes back to KBOO is doing a fine job. We have reached the communities that we need to, and so we don't need to have any change. If I interpret what you're saying, that would be that group of individuals saying that. Then there is, from the people that I've heard and things that I've gathered in documents and at assessments in the past, that there's quite a large number that would prefer some more diverse programming, more different music choices, more different programmings for different communities and neighborhoods.
Okay. This is a question from Eugene in Portland. Does Lynn support providing a platform for unpopular, controversial perspectives on KBOO via news and public affairs per the programming charter? That's his question.
Can you read that question again?
Mm-hmm. Does Lynn support providing a platform for unpopular, controversial perspectives on KABU via our news and public affairs per the programming charter?
I, of course, support the programming
charter.
Right,
you got the look on your face like, oh, of course, well, yeah.
I do support the programming charter, and I have no issues with that.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. This is a question from Pete, and it looks like we're going to be going over some stuff. And we've got about 11 minutes, so and we've got about 8 questions. So, in her delegated role as employer, does Lynn have the right to terminate staff?
Yes, it's in the board policies that I was given the authority to hire and terminate staff.
Okay. This is a question from Mark Sherman. He wants to know, how do you acquire grant funds from major corporations and foundations without stipulation? And that sort of is related to a question by, I think, Kenny Welch's, I think that's the right name. Is KABU receiving any federal funds since making the changes that it made recently with regard to the employee manual? So these are both questions about outside funding. One is about grant funding, one is about federal funding.
I believe that we still are receiving some residual, I guess would be the right word, federal funding. Our finance coordinator manages those contracts that have gone on for some time. We currently are not soliciting federal funding, and federal funding, such as Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding, we are not eligible for. Applying for federal funds at this time, the only things personally that I would think it would be important to look at federal funding would be for emergency preparedness money, so that KABU could be prepared for a natural disaster, which we're not. And there are federal funds to do that. There are also federal funds available right now for doing outreach in rural communities and providing access in rural communities. As part of the Oregon Community Media Consortium that's starting, that group will be looking at some of those fundings to provide funds to some of those small community radio stations. As far as looking at large corporation money for KABU, that has never really been done, and you would have to be very clear and very serious about approaching any kind of a corporation here at KABU for funding. For family foundations, for like the Meyer Memorial Trust, it's different insofar as their guidelines are often different. Corporate grant funding is very particular.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
They often want to be able to publicize the grant money that they give to you, and mm-hmm. often that can be called greenwashing or whitewashing, if you will. Mm-hmm.
Which is something that KABU listeners,
we would not do that. Corporations and foundations are different in how they fund and what they fund. Applications are completely different. Windows of opportunity when you can apply for money is very different. KABU right now really needs to become, more stable and very clear on its focus to be able to apply successfully for grant money. It's a need that we have not fulfilled. In particular, many foundations, corporate or private foundations now, they want to fund specific projects. So we would have to determine internally what is it that we have a great need for and how do we get that funding?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yesterday, I had asked you a question about funding, and you had said that you didn't have the numbers off the top of your head, but I guess there's been sort of a clarification about how much money you've been able to raise.
Well, you know, so I explained last night, I don't hold numbers in my head. Tonight, it shows that I have so much in my head that I don't hold numbers. But I did get a clarification on development, and that the development income has generated $48,000 in, I know I can't even read the note that was just handed me, in revenue net of expenses and outreach. It's influenced our underwriting revenue by $14,000. What she's trying to say here is we are raising money and we are exceeding many of our budget items and our line items. And as I tried to explain yesterday, development isn't done in a bubble. And when you ask me, you know, how much money did you raise from that event? At the same time, I'm going to say we raised this much when Debbie tells me after expenses how much we've raised. But I'm going to say, you know, but we did advertising that reached this number of thousands of people, that we influenced, you know, this number of people with what they saw.
So then there's cash and then there's the intangibles.
Yes. Friend, when you do development work, it's always talked about as friend raising and fundraising. So, you know, our underwriting right now, whether you approve of KBOO doing underwriting or not, is highly successful. And, you know, having thought about that and being excited every time I get to sign off on a new underwriting piece, a lot of it is new underwriters coming to us. Well, I kind of have to believe that part of that is those 100 media sponsors that we've had since the beginning of the year. And the KBOO logo is on all their posters, and it's in their programs, and it's on their website. The more people that see us, the more people are like, wow, KBOO's out there. KBOO's doing something. KBOO sponsored this event. This is my organization. I have a small business. I think I want to support KBOO. That's how development works. So I can say, here's this pot of money. Yes, this appeal brought in this much. But everything that we do, we just sent out a summer appeal. It's going out this week. We're mailing it to 15,000 people. We went through a very comprehensive idea of who we want to approach. We went back a number of years. That is as much an ask and appeal for money as it is marketing. So anybody who gets that is going to be current on what's going on at KBOO. They're going to be reminded about KBOO.
Okay. this is a comment from Emerald. She asks you to comment, and it's about some of the stuff that we've talked about before. Reducing staff benefits, top-down control, and making workers apply for their own jobs goes against everything KBOO stands for. And she's asking you to comment.
Well, I don't really think it goes against everything that KBOO stands for. And I would direct you at that particular question to the board of directors who adopted a set of policies after intensive training that gave me the authority to do what I'm doing, that virtually established a top-down management for me to implement at this particular time in KBOO's evolution. It will not always be like this. In fact, the plans that I've been working on move towards a team management system.
Okay. Well, Lynn, thank you very much. We are out of time. And again, this has been two nights of conversations with the station navigator, Lynn Fitch. raw, naked, and exposed about everything you wanted to know about KABU. Again, if you want to find out more specific information about KABU, board decisions, committees, all that stuff required by our charter and required by the state is on our website. Just go to the KABU website, click on governance, and you can read board minutes and all kinds of decisions about what KABU's been involved in. My name is Don Miro. Thank you to the KABU staff, and thanks, Lynn. And have a good evening.
The song is always the same. It starts with love and ends with your name. The more that I love you, there's more in you to love. And yet I just don't know how I could love you more than I do right now. They say that love grows cold, but our love turned to gold. You kissed my sorrows away. You touched my heart, what more can I say? Each day my life is new, for God blessed me with you. And when my life is all through, without a word, you always knew all my life was you.
Hello. This, you're tuned to KBOO Portland. This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Marylhurst University, the university for grown-ups, where it's never too late to earn a bachelor's or master's degree to achieve your dreams. Adults of all ages choose Marylhurst to gain knowledge from professors who practice what they teach. Now enrolling for fall term. Information at marylhurst.edu/KBOO.
KABU Community Radio is a proud media sponsor for Merrymeet 2013, a magical gathering of witches, healers, and other mystical beings. Merrymeet takes place the weekend of May 25th and 26th at 310 Southwest Lincoln Street in Portland from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. both days. Classes and workshops are available on psychic skills, dream work, queer magic, psychic self-defense, and more. Again, that's Merrymeet, a magical gathering, the weekend of May 25th and 26th in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KABU is a proud co-sponsor of the Creative Music Guild's second annual Improvisation Summit, Friday, May 31st and Saturday, June 1st at Sandbox Studio. 2 days of exciting performances featuring local artists and William Hooker from New York City. Performers include Golden Retriever, Daniel Menchie, Battle Hymns and Gardens, 1939 Ensemble, and more. Also, there will be workshops, panel discussions, dance, as well as film performances presented by Cinema Project and Experimental Film Festival. The Creative Music Guild is a locally based nonprofit dedicated to presenting adventurous music from the worlds of jazz and experimental avant-garde since 1991. For more information, go to creativemusicguild.org or ask at the information table when you attend the Improvisation Summit on May 31st and June 1st at the Sandbox Studio located at 420 Northeast 9th Avenue in Portland.
You are about to cross the border.
Yes, this is KBOO, and this is the A Different Nature that you're attuned to, a show of new music, sonic arts, experimental, avant-garde, and other stuff similar to that. And we're doing something tonight that Richard Francis, who started the show, used to do, and that is to have a call-in show where, you know, if we call... ask you, the listeners, to call in with ideas for future shows. Now, this isn't, we're not calling in for a request for a song or anything. We're calling in for a request for a whole show. So if you're a, you know, regular listener of...
at some other time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, it won't be tonight. It'll be, you know, like, you'll get a whole show. And so, Kev, I mean, even if you don't have, like, you know, you just have sort of ideas, and if it's not, you don't have a fully formed idea of something, but you want to hear something on, you know, people have... in the past have had
give
a lot
a
of
clue.
Different suggestions of stuff,
we'd love suggestions here.
Yeah.
We'd also like to hear if you heard anything over the last year or so that you thought just completely was horrible.
Right.
But
stuff
not
you
so
really
much
like.
About that.
Yeah, stuff you really like, stuff yeah. that's horrible. The number to call is 503-231-8187. And we're not asking for any money or anything. We're asking for ideas and you know, stuff.
Strictly kind of an influence on what we might play on this show. It's from 8 till 10 every Monday night.
Right.
And it's hosted by a rotating cast of characters.
Yeah, most of who are in this air room tonight are
a few
of them are missing.
Yeah, some of them are a little bit scarce, and we wish they were here. But that's their little guilt trip. But anyway, the idea is for all you listeners out there who make a point of listening to this radio show to give us a call at 503-231-8187 and